Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to Big Think Dimension with KZ Excellent.
I think video game good.
Dan and Bob Video Game.
You see that mountain? You could fuck another man on that mountain.
And Mr. Feel.
Fried pickles, a big old basket of dill pickle chips coated with our special batter and fried to perfection. Served with Homer's favorite buttermilk dressing for dipping. Crunchy and delicious. Hoo-wee.
Here on Gigaboots.
So Bob tells me this story about him going to Winn-Dixie, which is a grocery store for those who don't know. They were selling selling Girl Scout cookies. And the lady in front of him's taken forever. And she goes, "I just don't know which ones to get." And Bob tells me the story and he goes, "Yeah, I mean, isn't it obvious?" And I'm like, "Hey, whoa. Thin Mint is really good, and everyone should buy a pack of Thin Mint, sure. But the peanut butter is also fucking good. Don't undersell them."
No other Girl Scout cookies made an impression on me other than Thin Mint. Everything else is just like, this is okay.
Here's how you do it.
What about the Caramel Delights? That's always my favorite.
They're all right. I'm okay with them, but Bob, the
ones that used to have a racist name that they changed.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. So, you grab three of the peanut butter cookies, okay?
Okay.
You dunk them all. No, you put them all in your mouth dry, and then you drink oat milk and surround it. And then it breaks down in your mouth, and it's peanut butter, and it's delicious. It's really good.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know.
No, you should do it. Don't take my word for it. Everyone listening to this, just fucking do it. The peanut butter cookies are important. Incredibly important. Obviously, because it's the first thing we're talking about. Imagine if we were some jokers who just started their podcast talking about stupid bullshit.
Instead, we have important content.
Yes, incredibly, incredibly important content. Since we all played Grand Blue, we'll save that one for last. Hey, Bob, what have you been playing other than Grand Blue?
Other than Grand Blue?
Uh-huh.
I guess there's the Final Fantasy VII demo, which we could jump into. I'm pretty sure everyone except Dan played that.
Did you play anything other than those two?
I feel like I did, but I'm not sure.
Okay, well then we're going to go to Field. Did you play anything other than those two?
Yeah, I played a shitload of things. Let's go through them.
Of course you did.
Okay, Field, go right ahead.
I beat Illusion of Gaia. I'm pretty sure, KZ, you were remembering the final boss because it just removes its gloves and there's brass knuckles under them.
Yeah,
it is so much harder than every other thing in the game. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the last boss is comical. I remember the vampire fight and that being really annoying. I just didn't like some of the last areas in that. I was like, you're losing me.
It's a very interesting game. I don't know if the Super Nintendo was equipped to do it. It makes me more interested in their single PS1 game.
Which game is that?
It's called The Grandstream Saga.
Huh. I didn't know they made it that far.
That's the final Quintet game, I think.
Quintet's a badass company.
I also played Sonic Adventure 2, because people paid me money to, and I streamed it.
How's
that game holds up really well, except for BioLizard, which fucking sucks.
You know, this seems to run contrary to what I've heard other popular live streamers say, I just don't know which of these two opinions to go with. I guess KZ needs to play it next. We need a tiebreaker.
Well, as you know, whoever's on the podcast has to be more right, isn't it?
That's just how it works,
I guess.
That's
how it works for me, Aggro, and Xeon. I get to be on the podcast, so I get to say whatever, and then they see me in person and go, "Fuck you, I never said Fritza."
Yeah, that's how this works. I can't believe Aggro didn't say Fritza.
Yes, Aggro, not Xeon. Anyway.
I also played Sonic Lost World.
Why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
I'm serious, just way back.
I had to know, because when it came out on Wii U, I bought it, and I got so frustrated by the fucking racist stereotype boss.
It's not racist at all.
Where you have to get the rocket, and if you're not in view of the planet, which it's really hard to know if you're in view because you can't see above you. It's a top-down view of you on this small planetoid. So it's incredibly hard to know if you're going to be able to see the planet. And if you couldn't, you're just fucked. You have to shoot off into the atmosphere and die. Because you can't cancel the rocket.
The fact they keep using all those color transformations is so weird.
They're way worse than colors, too. It's like, it's fucking bad. But in the PC version, maybe they were in the Wii U version. I just don't fucking remember. I don't think they were. Because I got through it in the PC version without any trouble whatsoever. Because they added all these balloons that give you another shot and aim you directly at the planet. Which feel like a, we can't actually fix this boss fight. Let's put a Band-Aid on it for this port.
Hey, at least there's a Band-Aid.
That game starts okay, but the last couple worlds are just... I saw somebody use the term for... It's a term I have only seen used for Sonic Lost World, and I think it's valid. Fun vampire. The last two worlds of this game are a fun vampire. It bites your neck and starts siphoning your fun, and by the end of it, you wish you were dead.
Cool.
It doesn't help that the Deadly Six suck.
No, they're great.
A lot.
What's wrong about them?
Especially Zavok.
What's wrong with them?
Okay, here's the Deadly Six. There's the crazy guy whose character is being crazy.
Ooh.
There's the fat guy whose character is being fat and stupid, and he always has a submarine sandwich.
Okay, yeah, that's...
There's the racist stereotype who's a tiny little man with a Fu Manchu mustache who carries a Chinese man staff and always talks about wisdom, and I think he says he's going to Kung Pao you at one point.
This seems reasonable so far.
Then there is the emo one who is actually kind of funny because his dialogue is just strong, sad dialogue. So you're playing through the level and you just hear strong, sad.
That's pretty
and
funny.
It's so jarring and it almost made me laugh. Oh. Then you have the woman and her gimmick is the writer hated women.
Oh no!
Toriyama sneaks in.
Why do we keep finding him?
It's... here's some of her lines. I like a man with ambition because I have none. Constant talking about her nails. When you start her boss fight, she says no flowers. And the very first thing you see with her is her being unreasonable and Zavok placating her by calling her pretty.
What a king.
Then you have Zavok, and God, yes. Zavok sucks.
Shut up, he's great. Cringe before him.
All his dialogue is just, I'm the ultimate warrior and will defeat you, Sonic. And then his boss fight is he does a really slow punch. And the only difficulty in his boss fight is that it involves a mechanic not used in any other fight in the game. Which is Sonic's homing attack in that game having levels that can charge up, but only if you stand still, not if you hit a button. And then the last time you fight him, he just turns into a Bowser boss fight where he gets real big and you have to run away and throw things at him.
This sounds like an exciting Sonic game. I don't know what the problem is.
Would you recommend Sonic Lost World?
No. And then the final boss is the final boss of Colors, but bad. Which sucks because the egg Nega Wisp looks so fucking raw and the thing in Lost World does not look even a little bit raw.
Okay, we need to put these comments within context. It's always important to understand the relationship of the larger pantheon here. Feel, would you rather play Sonic Lost World again for an hour and a half, or would you rather play Sonic 4 Episode 1 all the way through? If this helps, just think about the music, which I have sadly enough memorized. It is deeply ingrained in my brain.
I haven't even played that one, and I have.
It's just
Do I start from the beginning of Lost World? Where am I starting from in Lost World?
Let's say the middle. Perfect middle.
Sonic 4.
It's. I'm just really glad that you'll get to enjoy the minecart segment again. A really bad version of a robot.
There's a minecart segment in this. You don't have a minecart, but you're on a rail and there are other minecarts and a Donkey Kong Country-esque track is playing. And it's like the worst version of that.
Fantastic.
Anyway, I played Dust in Elysian Tale, which might be the most furry game ever made and published on consoles. It was made by one man and, you know, musicians and stuff, but he did the art and the programming and everything as far as I know. It is a Metroidvania where you play as a teal fox with a samurai hat that always covers his eyes, and he has two souls and a magic sword.
This is raw.
And when you get the double jump, angel wings appear briefly when you use the double jump.
This sounds like the greatest game for someone who's 15.
Kind of. It also has the incredibly annoying assistant character, Fidget, who is like if Midna constantly talked about memes and was from 2008. One of the first things that comes out of her mouth when you meet the merchant, who is just the merchant from RE4, by the way, is she quotes the RE4 merchant and does an impression, and that's the joke.
That's not a joke.
Also, she breaks the fourth wall a lot. That's the joke.
That's not a joke.
Also, I broke the game using her, because when you hit a button, she spits out a tiny little magic spell, and then you do Prop Shredder, and the spell gets sucked into Prop Shredder and gets way bigger. All the equipment that makes her stronger does not flatly increase her stat. It multiplies it. So I equipped a necklace that multiplied it by 1.5, and then two rings that multiply it by 3. So the final boss has 5 phases with 60,000 health in each phase. I was doing 2,400 damage a frame. The boss's life bar did not get to fill before it was gone.
Jesus Christ.
That game is really... it's really cringy, but that's fine because it's so earnest about it.
I don't know about that.
You should try it, Dan. It was a Microsoft Studios exclusive.
Yeah, I played it. I didn't play a ton of it. I played enough of it to realize I didn't like it. And then I stopped.
Try it again. Maybe stream goal.
Super nope. No. Okay, guys, here's our stream goal. Either I play Dust and Elysian Tale, or we spend an hour on Furcadia.
Ow.
Both have an equal chance of seeing furry cock, which is very weird.
Yeah.
You're weak, Dan. Weak.
No, that game sucks.
Yeah, I played an hour or so of it and was just kind of bored.
It's not great. it's combat focused, and the combat is bad.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, if that game controlled as well as Dead Cells, you know, or anything like that, that'd be fine. But it just feels insanely floaty, and the dialogue is a nightmare.
Yes, and the developer keeps saying they're going to make a sequel once they finish some other thing that's never going to be done. So I guess that's never happening. That's everything I played.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Do you remember what you played other than those two things we're holding off till the end?
I also played a little bit of the Mega Man Zero Collection.
Oh. Good. You have the PS4 version.
Yes.
How did that go, Bob? Did you enjoy those aesthetic, authentic filters?
God, those filters are so bad. I'm like, why is it?
Oh my God, are they bad? What? And the default.
Yes, the default to having some of them.
Can't
on.
You not take them off the cutscenes? Can't you not get rid of the cutscenes?
The cutscenes are just hard upscaled. It's baked into the image. Like, they put really it through bad. A waifu upscaler, legit. Like, this isn't a joke. This isn't a fucking joke. This is real.
It looks so bad.
It looks really fucking rough.
I think the only positive takeaway I have from the collection is the ZX games and ZX Advent, the right original, have the original recordings used for the dub. So yes. You'll hear a full quality like character yelling when you attack, and then the ZX Advent has fully dubbed cutscenes, which is kind of crazy. And those were also preserved in fairly high quality, so they look a lot better than they did in the DS original version.
The voice comparisons are hilarious.
I'm sure.
DS audio and this.
I also tried the first mission of Zero again, and there's two easy modifiers they've made for this game. The mode where it just gives you everything and makes you almost invincible, which is kind of ridiculous. It's like, I don't look, guys, the plot's not good enough for me to ever do this.
What are you talking about? I played something that looked epic.
And the mode where it just puts checkpoints in the level, like any reasonable Mega Man game would do.
Yes, that's what I played them on. I put on the magic can that you touch that fucking brings you back.
Right, and that let me...
Still not perfect.
Yeah, it's still a mess, but it let me see exactly how trash that first boss is. It's like, yeah, he's incredibly cheap. If I didn't have this checkpoint right here, I just would fail the mission like I did every time I played this game.
What would you consider the first boss, like when you just go into and fight just a big dumb machine, or like the first proper, like...
The one of the first proper Maverick. Mission, the mission that it has you take, it basically to show you that you can fail a mission and then lose out on content for the entire game.
Ah, yeah. So I played a chunk of one, and I put on those checkpoint things.
Uh-huh.
And when I was going through it, I'm like, all right, the checkpoints definitely make this tolerable when it comes, because, you know, dying once and they're like, game over. I'm like, why'd you add this? Why are you wasting my time telling me I died? I got it. I got it from me exploding. But you come back through a checkpoint, and then they play the cutscene again.
Yes, they make you rewatch the cutscene, which is also bad.
I'm like, why? What are you doing?
Probably just a save state.
Yeah, it is just a save state, basically. So they just didn't figure out a way around that to make it work.
Yeah, just that first fight was rough. I think I hit the... ninja... dude who like creates shadow clones and stuff, and then I died, and then I went, oh, you can like this mission can just disappear, whatever, that's weird. I thought it was okay, but they're trying way too hard to make something hard, in air quotes.
Yeah, no, it's insistence on missions just being completely gone and you have to reload instead of just having some convenient way.
There is something terrible in that. I don't know if there's any way in the first Zero game to scroll the camera or scroll the view so you can see things below you or above you or anything. Because I know like some Mario games do that. There is a checkpoint in a level where there's like moving platforms that take you across a long horizontal track.
Uh-huh.
And halfway through it, there's a checkpoint that is on a platform above the thing you're riding. I died after hitting it, and when you start again, you're up so high you can't see the moving platforms. And the only way for you to see them is if you jump down and, like, kind of slide a little bit on the edge of something, and even then it's a crapshoot. Also, there's little electrocution things across the track that'll hit you and make you fall. I died most of the time trying to get back onto the platform off the checkpoint.
Yeah,
because there's no way to see them.
Those Zero games are just filled with such bad design. Like that.
Yeah, I'd rather something be challenging where I'm go, all right, I deserve this, instead of, why do I die in three fucking hits to this boss?
Yeah, right, the first boss, the Birdman, he can kill you in three hits. Because your health bar is so small.
And the little blasts on the ground still damage you after they've landed, so you kind of like still have to stay away from them.
Yeah, his hitbox is super wonky, where it's like, I didn't know that like a couple pixels off of his arm was gonna hurt me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't feel comfortable like hitting him. Like I didn't feel good about the windows that I was given on that.
Yeah, it literally took him until I had the save state function right in front of him to understand where he was going to hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what's a cyber elf?
Oh. That's a despicable part of this game that you shouldn't even use.
Let me explain.
I don't know what those are.
Let me explain. When a game company loves going way up its own ass. Now that's it. I'm done.
Basically, they're gameplay adjusting things like power-ups, but when you use them, you kill them. So you're supposed to feel bad about it, and you should never actually use them.
Okay, that's epic.
Sure.
I jumped around the games. I was like, this is okay. When I put in codes to make the games tolerable, but only then.
I'm considering playing ZX Advent like this, just because I've heard from people that's the one that's okay.
That's the best one of the six. I still don't think it's that great, but it's the one I would recommend somebody play.
Beautiful.
All the trimmings around the collection are really nice. Like, you know, the usual music player, all the art that they have in those. Oh, that's neat. Very funny that they separate both series with the left and right D-pad instead of putting them all in one big menu.
Yeah, it makes the menu really bad.
Because when you hit artwork, even on the ZX section of the menu, it still gives you the list of all the games anyway.
Of course.
It's almost like they were going to sell two collections and then someone went, what are you, nuts? We didn't even do this for... What are you doing?
Yeah, I can't imagine
it. Do you know if the ones for the later games of the Zero games have a just give me the fucking boss weapon mode?
I think that you get every single weapon in that super cheap or easy mode. I'm pretty sure
we need a middle ground. We need a mode where it's like, we changed it to be like a sane person designed the game, and now you just get the boss's weapon when you beat them instead of having to get an A rank while the sun is halfway under a cloud.
What?
Oh, that's how it works in Zero 4, Bob. You only get the boss weapons because there's weather conditions that levels can be under. You only get the weapon if you beat the boss under the weather condition that makes them strongest.
Oh, man.
That sounds
This
bad.
Series is a fucking scourge on Mega Man.
It really is. It's just like they let Inti do whatever they wanted, and that was all bad. I feel like that's the only other thing I really played.
I played Step Mania. I did some Step Mania. I have no idea how I'm going to do a stream that's longer than 30 minutes of Step Mania. Even if I get someone to hang out with me and also play Step Mania, I do not believe that will last longer than an hour.
Yeah, that thing looks exhausting.
It's a lot.
I would normally be down for playing that, but I know I'm incredibly bad at those games.
You say that.
Uh-huh.
Attack the notes like they're an enemy in DMC 5.
Yes. All you have to do is switch to Royal Guard, Bob.
Pretend you're Royal Guarding the notes.
But yeah, no, Step Mania has been really fun. For those who don't know, that's the PC version of a DDR game. It works with the dance pad I ordered. You can, you know, go to a website, find songs for it, etc., etc. It's been really fun. It's really good exercise. I do want to do a stream of it. I'm hoping at some point I can do that. Because, man, the last thing I want to do is be playing songs on insane difficulty and be like, okay, now we sit. Welcome to the part of the stream where I sit my ass down because I need to breathe.
time to read donation notes and and drink water.
And eat my protein bars.
And I have this binaural microphone to whisper into the ears of.
Oh, God.
Please help me raise $8,500 for our binaural microphone.
Good God.
I almost thought you said you bought something for $8,500.
No. Not yet. I still think the neatest thing you could do is a POV, choose your own adventure, done in FMV, that has a binaural headset. So it just is insanely immersive if you wear headphones. I think that would be cool as shit. Anyway.
You get sued because somebody dies.
Why would they die?
From heart failure.
Oh, well. I'm sorry, I'm making compelling content. Anyway. That's about it though. I actually crunched a lot on I'm recovering from the week of out of town visitors and the wedding I was the best man at and stuff, and it was a fun wedding. I guess we could talk about Bob, what was the name of that cruising game?
Cruising Burst or something?
Let me check. Cruising
Blast?
Blast. I think it was Blast. Let me see. Yes. Cruising Blast is really fucking fun. They have four fucking arcade machines set up next to each other. They take a shot of your face. You select your vehicles and just do, you know, stupid Cruisin' USA-esque races, except for these were even more extreme. It was like it turned up to 11. It was really delightful. Me, Bob, Eric, and Dr. Agro raced each other multiple times at Eric's wedding. It was a good wedding. It was at a bowling alley.
Yeah, we played foosball.
That's true. We also played air hockey. That was really good. And then I was the king of skee ball, so that's cool. Good thing we're never going to do that again, so that way I can be reigning champ for the rest of my life. But yeah, no. No normal-ass video games, but Cruisin' Blast is all right, let me tell you.
You could be a Triceratops, yeah.
Yes, you could race as a Triceratops and do flips in midair as you go off a sick ramp. If you've ever played the original Cruisin' games, you know that slamming twice on the gas makes you do a bit of a wheelie and like shoot flames out of the back. You could do that as the Triceratops. So it's just shooting flames out of its ass as it runs faster. It's really good. But yeah, aside from that, I didn't really play anything. Didn't have time aside from Grand Blue. But hey, KZ, did you play anything other than Grand Blue and Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Nope.
Then I guess it's time to talk about Grand Blue. We're gonna play some more of that after this. But hey, how about those online lobbies?
Nothing is more fun than both Bob and Dan going, how do I get out of the share? Oh no, I left the entire lobby.
Wait.
What?
Before we talk about the online lobbies, we have to talk about what we all had to do before we could get into the online lobby.
True.
Yes.
Seven matches, five of them against bots.
Yep.
Two of them against real people to give us our online rank so we can make a lobby that has nothing to do with ranks.
Yeah, that was weird. Why the five like AI matches?
And the bots don't get harder. They're all the same difficulty, which is brain dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? Is it like trying to think of how you play specifically and then guess who we should throw at you?
I don't know. Did anybody lose any of those? Any of those seven?
Yes, I lost the last one.
I may have lost the last two, because keep in mind, when me and Bob got in, Japan was awake, and Japan is the only people who had the game.
Okay, that makes sense. I won all seven, and it every time I have touched ranked, it has just been me fighting the Titans.
Yeah, no, I was destroyed when I did it online for the first couple times, so yeah, for sure. I was not ranked well.
It's okay, though. I didn't know the ways of Charlotta back then. Now I know.
Point of view, I'm just thinking about feels good tweet now.
Yeah, no, it's great tweet. Point of view, online lobbies for...
I haven't actually run into a single Charlotta.
Really? Because let me tell you about opening night. There were many mirror matches. That's fine. Mirror matches are fine. They're not frustrating.
I'm in danger.
Hey, Bob, what character are you using?
I'm mainly using Zeta.
Okay.
The pogo stick stuff she does is really fun. So.
Yeah, no. She's female Yukimura Sonata, and her pogo stick shit is hilarious. KZ, what are you using?
I'm using Fairy and Percival. I think he's the fire one.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
I like everything except his shoulder pads, so we won't play him.
That's
I hate that, because I'm like, he's got cool armor shoulder pads. I love it.
That's a reasonable stance, Bob. Very reasonable.
Definitely.
Yeah, Feel, who are you playing as again? You're playing as Gran? You're playing as Vanilla Ice Cream?
I've mostly been playing as Narmaya. I forget how.
That's a good character. Dan loves that one.
She's got huge hitboxes.
In ranked, I've mostly been using Gran so I could figure out how to play the game and not get instantly bodied.
Yeah, him and Catalina seem like the nice, like, basic ones.
Catalina is Ryu and Gran is Ken, because he has the big boot that people just throw out like Ken's uppercut. Like, you have the flowchart Gran. Are they close uppercut? Are they far boot? But yeah, those are the two I've mostly been using.
I haven't had enough time to really mess around with the single player.
I've done some of it. It's not normal. It's like, if you're expecting a normal single player game, this isn't it.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's definitely real different.
Most fights are against monsters or NPCs, like characters that aren't even playable. They'll be like, fight 40 of these guys. It's like we have teleported back to Guilty Gear Isuka,
but it's not terrible. I don't like know that.
Yes, it's not terrible. And when you do fight somebody, they have like, it's like the mobile game. They hit a state that bosses in the mobile game hit called Overdrive, where they get armor and just deal way more damage. and you have to beat on them until they come out of that state, and then they get stunned for an extended period. And then there are just bosses. Like, there's a giant boss where it's like, I'm going to drive a big attack here. I'm going to shoot a laser here. You can't block most of the stuff I do. You have to jump over it or duck under it. And it's cool. It's kind of grindy, and you have to do gacha pulls.
Yes.
But at least you get money you can use to buy new colors, and you can also get different weapons for different skins for everybody's weapons. I think every character has, like, I don't know how many skins, but there's skins for the weapons.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. They put in the weapon grid.
They put in the weapon grid.
Like, getting new spears for the characters and stuff like that's really neat. I like that. I also played arcade mode. Did anyone else play arcade mode?
No, I still haven't checked
it out. I only played story mode.
Arcade mode's weirdly easy. I went all the way through extreme mode and was only stopped by the final boss.
Yeah, that's because the game is for mobile game babies, Bob.
Yeah, but I think the main single player, not the arcade, but I think the main single player is it's really interesting, and I'm really excited to look into it just because it has, you know, the weird skill sets and leveling up your weapons and your character and stuff like that.
You,
like,
can also co-op most of all the missions.
Yeah. Like, they keep you from doing it in the beginning, but eventually you can just co-op it. Yeah, I should have time to play that soon, so I'm looking forward to it. I have not, however, played Final Fantasy VII Remake's demo, which came out on the day the game was supposed to come out, if I remember correctly.
A day before, yeah.
So I can't believe I had that thought back in December. It ended up the case. I was like, it would be really brilliant if they did this to help people get over. Oh, fuck, they did it!
Yeah.
Didn't expect that. We're going to lead with Bob. Bob, how'd you like it? How's it going?
It's really pretty. Like, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
I'm of two minds on the game, because it's weird. I'm in the situation of Final Fantasy VII is one of the first turn-based games I ever played.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, when I was a kid, I did not want to play that kind of game. It kind of turned me off from playing it, but then everything about the game got me to play it despite it being a turn-based game.
Yeah.
So to see it turn into an action game like this, like, we already knew it was going to be that, but it's a weird position, because, like, it's not a great action game. It's serviceable, but I feel like a lot of things, like the dodging doesn't feel 100% good. Like, the first boss literally, it has a little, like, area effect thing that it does around itself, and it has a tell for that where it, like, highlights the circle around the boss.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you not enough time to hit the dodge button, because the dodge button gets you barely not far enough away from that circle to still take damage. So you need to have precognition and know when it's going to put up that circle that warns you, so you can start walking and then dodge. I don't know if even
gives you
iframe.
It's doing less of giving you tells and more that they want you to look at the enemy and every skill it's going to do, it puts the name of the skill above it in advance. So you do that over the tells.
Oh my god, that's, like, insane.
Yeah, it puts up a little red text in the move list of, like, Mach 99 missiles and shit. And that's the first thing that they show.
Also, it seems to really want you not to just dodge. It wants you to block something.
And the block feels really bad. Like, it doesn't go up fast enough. It doesn't actually stop certain things. It's weird.
If you block a thing that you can't stop, and it still does damage to you, is it reduced damage or full? Do you know?
It seems to be reduced damage.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot avoid damage in this game.
Yeah.
Like, when you go for the block, it's doing minimal damage, but the point is they want you to block it because it fills ATB a lot.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I'll need to see more of this to see how I feel about it, because right now I'm like, this is a little weird.
Okay, Phil, what are your thoughts on the demo?
I really liked it. It took me a while to get used to the combat. I actually want to play it a second time, because I was like, boy, that boss seemed to take a long time. And then somebody said, here's a video of somebody tearing it to shreds. And I'm like, oh, they want you to play this game a different way than I thought.
Yeah, I saw a video that was like, here's the guard scorpion taken down in 3 minutes.
Oh yeah, before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good way to set up the camera in this game. They have it set up so you lock on a target with R3.
Mm-hmm.
The standard way,
yeah,
it'll like the camera will follow him when you're locked on.
Okay.
But the right stick, you can't move it around the character. The right stick will have you literally switch targets.
Yes.
So you can't move the camera while you're locked on?
No, they will switch your target. But there's a separate mode.
Uh-huh.
Where you lock on with R3, the camera no longer follows what's locked on. Okay. And you can switch targets by using the D-pad.
Okay.
But the problem there is literally the camera is just sitting there, like whatever direction you leave it facing. It doesn't try and track the target lock at all.
I feel like the D-pad one would be worse because that's where the character switching option is normally.
They just move the character switching to up and down instead of left and right.
Oh, huh. Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, so it still works that way.
I didn't really notice a problem with the camera except for one thing, which isn't even really a problem, but it's just a thing I feel was jarring and not what I expected, which is I really expected when you switch to Barrett, it just to turn into a third person shooter. I didn't expect you to not actually be able to aim his gun. I expected you to be able to aim his gun, not for to only be able to shoot at locked on things. So it feels a little weird, but this isn't, I'm going to have to like purge the idea that this is just an action game for my brain. Cause they're going for something different. A lot of fun to bounce dudes around with Cloud's Punisher mode.
It's cartoony the way these guys just flip 50 feet in the air because you hit them so hard.
So, KZ, any thoughts? What are your thoughts?
I went through it about 3 times, and I really enjoyed it. The first time, I completely forgot about the shortcut system, where you normally go through combat, you're building up your ATB, and then you can do all of your skills like fire or like Cloud Stinger by hitting X and then it slows down time and you can slowly do it, or you can just set up 4 shortcuts and then just immediately tap them. And once I got that, the combat felt a lot more fluid and I got into that flow of switching the characters and going through that. I like it a lot. I think they really nailed something that feels a bit more distinct, and once I realized, okay, you're going to be taking damage, that's just going to be a thing that happens, and with the boss, you kind of watch what skills it's casting for certain things. It became a bit easier to handle, but it's when you're fighting like the bigger robot enemies, the sweepers that you fight a couple of times in the demo, and you get into that flow of getting up the ATB and starting to command both characters to do things, that it really started to click, like, okay, this is like really, really working for me, of doing everything you can to build up like the stagger bar and everything. Overall, I came out really, really satisfied with the whole thing. Also, I think the dialogue so far in it is great. Like they really nailed some decent chemistry between the characters throughout.
Yeah, I think so too. Were you talking about switching between characters and building ATB? Did you find a good way to build ATB on the character you're not currently using?
No. I have noticed that can be a bit difficult. So it just becomes this dance of I will do some combos, build up some ATB with Cloud, unload his moves, and then I would like switch to Barrett and then do some of his moves, and then you start learning about canceling and stuff. Like if you use Barrett's like gun move with square, he has like this cooldown at the end of the combo, but if you use triangle to recharge your other move, that just cancels it. So I started learning how to fight through things faster.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I have noticed a lot of things where I was worried that animations would make certain shit feel laggy. Turns out there are ways around some of that stuff, which I really appreciated. But yeah, I really do like the dialogue in this. Like you're fighting that first boss, and Cloud explicitly says, use lightning magic on this to weaken it. And if you don't, he's like, I I thought it, I told you that lightning works on it. And Bear says, I thought you were full of shit. And that's the reason if you just decide to ignore stuff. That and there's a section with lasers that you're supposed to run through with timing. And they've given Jesse about 10 lines of dialogue that are different if you get hit by them. That where she progressively thinks you're more and more stupid. To the point where she asks if you have a fetish for this. Which I think is hilarious. But yeah. Really enjoyed that demo. Longer than expected, too.
There was one important change that happened during this demo for plot stuff. Because I feel like most of it was really spot on of like, this is what happened originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was I know what you're going to talk about, but there was also a direct reference to the Turks mobile game before Crisis, I think is what they call it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when Heidegger goes, whoever mentions the Wutai trying to assassinate President Shinra, that's a thing from before Crisis.
Huh.
What were you going to say, Bob?
Yeah, because he has that line of, yeah.
You set the bomb in the bomber mission, of course.
Yeah.
Your bomb goes off and just only destroys part of the reactor, and then Shinra President gives a smirk and then hits a button, and then all his attack droids attack the reactor and does the full explosion like we see in the original game, where it's just the whole reactor is exploding instead of just like a tiny part inside of it.
You tell me this is an inside job?
Yes.
You tell me the Wutai have weapons of mass destruction.
No?
I've heard different takes on this, and we're not going to know till the game comes out, because obviously we'll know as soon as they talk about it right after that. The thing they show us in a still, but don't actually show us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard the one Avalanche, they're going to change it, and Avalanche didn't intend to blow up the entire reactor and fucking destroy the city. Or the second was they did, but the Scorpion fucked up them placing the bomb, but Shinra wanted to use it as propaganda, so they just did it themselves anyway. Because you do see Jesse setting another charge on a support structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just a lot of questions.
I don't know.
Right now.
Yeah, it's too early to like have a really good grasp. Like trailers, we've been able to kind of see Shinra's intent, like a trailer a few months ago where they're trying to say Avalanche is a Wutai operation. And it's like they've already like planned to, that's gonna be their whole thing when it comes to that. And I saw like some preview coverage that was kind of talking about like the bulk of the thing right after this is just dealing with the fallout of what a terrorist attack of that level would have done. Like, involving, like, the people and how normal life is handled in that kind of disaster.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it with full context.
Yeah. You know who's good at providing full context?
Who?
The Podlord.
Oh my god.
Oh fuck.
That's right. The Podlords. Podlords such as Danny Richardson, E. Lee Broyles, Texas Man joined Smash, Rabbit joined Smash, Red Blaze 27, Keyblade Master Mike Bloomberg.
No.
Suzu Shiro, Emperor Zero. Florida woman joins Smash but is banned for bringing meth.
I don't like this season pass.
This is good. A Draco. Oh no. What is... Who? Who has done this to me and why? Oh, okay. I've seen this before. It just lapsed from my brain long enough for me to be hurt by it again. KZ Gexcellent.
Yeah! That's from Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko.
Lady Popcorn. Maddie Mo stars in Return of the Disposable Income. Good on you, Maddie.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I miss being a pot elf. It's okay. You can still be a pot elf, and the rest will be pot lords. I wish I didn't see this earlier this week while doing finance stuff for this fucking podcast, because seeing it twice is literally killing me.
What?
Oh no.
The only actual unironic breakfast baconator stand where they turned Gary Busey's face into a baconator.
God. This banjo reboot ain't going well.
This is a nightmare.
Neo Geo Neanderthal Mozzarella 101 Shades of Wonderful Remaster crowdfunds his way into Smash. WTF Spider-Man, Mr. I Like Bacon, Modern Wizard, and DFW3K mourns the loss of Genesis and eats a Benora White or something. Thank you very much.
The fruit of Gact.
Thank you very much to our podlords and their dumb apples.
Thanks, podlords.
Thank you, podlords.
Thank you, podlords.
And if you'd like to become a podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/gbpodcast. And if you don't want to become a podlord but still want to support us, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to Cursed Content Club commentaries, the commentary tracks for the horrible things we watch. Cursed Content by Committee, that's our user vote cursed content show. Early access to Mondo Cool, our Dragon Ball movie review podcast, where soon we're going to watch Lord Slug. Look forward to it. And extended armchair dev pitches, where we actually get to say our ideas and aren't just constantly shooting each other. And many more benefits. That's patreon.com/gbpodcast.
Thank you very much to everyone who supports us. We hope you're interested. We've got some great news to talk about. I'm going to start with some news I just stole from Feel, because I have knowledge that is helpful to this discussion. Sure. So guys, they announced there's going to be a The Last of Us HBO show. And do you know who's writing it? Do you know who's the executive producer?
Neil Druckmann.
I mean, Neil Druckmann's also helping. But it is being written and produced by Craig Mazin, writer of Scary Movie 3 and 4, The Hangover Part 2 and 3, Identity Thief, and Superhero Movie.
Yeah!
Now, I realize not
And also Chernobyl.
Yeah, also Chernobyl, but I'm not going to let him live the rest of that down. I had to listen to his podcast.
God damn it.
I had to listen to his podcast for years where he's like, let me tell you how it is being an artist. And I'm like, motherfucker, you made the sequels to already existing franchises. Anyway. what the fuck is the name of that podcast? I'm going to look that up real quick. Anyways, Last of Us, it's getting an HBO show. It's going to be executive produced and written, apparently, by Craig Mazin, a co-host of the Script Notes podcast, a podcast about screenwriting and screenwriters and what they're interested in. Feel free to check that out so you can maybe figure out why I needed to bring up Craig Mazin's dark past. Anyway, I am extremely excited for the visionary behind The Hangover Part 3, The Huntsman Winter's War, and Superhero Movie to tell me what is incredible about The Last of
and
Us.
And Chernobyl.
I'm going to be honest. I have no interest in watching Chernobyl. Like zero. Yeah, not going to check it out. Sorry.
Yeah, I know nothing about it except that it was good.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I know. I mean, I've never heard anybody say it was bad.
I don't
Only
trust people
things.
For jack shit. People like Big Bang Theory. Fuck them.
Yeah, but I've heard people say bad things about Big Bang Theory.
This just means not many people have watched Chernobyl yet.
Yeah, we need people who might know fucking anything about Chernobyl. But anyway, that's not important. We're going to move on to news. So Bloodstained, they announced the thing I had been wondering about for years now. How the fuck are they going to do a roguelike mode? They're not. It's canceled.
Yeah, they said their game engine just can't fucking do that.
They fundamentally designed the engine and a lot of early decisions with the game in a way where it was absolutely impossible, which is what I had been thinking the entire fucking time. They are going to do instead a randomizer mode like you would expect from, you know, Link to the Past Super Metroid randomizers, where different key items in the games will be in different spots. And just like with those, the randomizer generates a seed so you can share the specific version of the game you had with someone else.
Yep.
Which is really cool. I'm interested in this.
I like that there are end game goals in it where you can have a goal where it's like defeat Jeeble, or like defeat all evil, or defeat true evil, which is how they've labeled them, which is really funny.
That's pretty good. I'm super interested in that. I think it'd be really neat to randomize it and then have me and someone else race it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty good. And the randomizer mode is going to launch alongside Zungets, and boss revenge mode will launch after the Zungets and randomizer update. So this is all looking good. I'm sorry to anyone who wanted the roguelike mode. I think it would have been interesting, but I just could not even fucking imagine how they were going to pull it off this whole time. So it doesn't surprise me one bit that they canceled it.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll see them cancel the linear mode, too.
Oh, yeah. The one that's supposed to be more like classic Castlevania?
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier to make.
Right. But you'd still, I assume you'd still have to cut up the environment in new ways.
Or just make new environments from pre-existing assets, like right. textures and stuff.
Yeah.
I figured they were probably doing that, because since it's hyper-linear, it's a lot cheaper than making, you know, the whole game again.
Yes.
We got some Stadia news. Apparently, Google poached the head of Sony Santa Monica, Shannon Studstill, to head up a new studio called Playa Vista. Am I reading this right? Ah! Is this
real? Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that's it. Let me make sure.
Bitch, are you for real? That's fucking what a name. What a name. What a fucking name.
It's gonna... Whatever game they make will be game of the year.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the city it's in.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's a dumb name for a city, but Jesus Christ. I was like, who in their right mind would name a game studio this?
That sounds like some stupid Stadia would name something.
It does. It sounds like some fucking dumb pun thing you would do, not a location.
At least, you know. Nah, and no comment, but it's the name of the city. I live in a city named Niceville. I can't say shit.
House made of glass.
Uh-huh. Panhandle made of glass. And Feel has written a note here. Feel, would you like to read it?
Their game will never come out because Stadia will cease to exist before it is done. Because they have said, we don't have a team yet. It's going to be 3 years until we see this. 3 years is longer than the Stadia's lifespan.
That is entirely
How would you
possible.
Know that, you seeker of truth?
Yeah, this is insane. Like, this is something you should not do post-launch. Post a completely failed launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is, yeah.
How much
Why
did they pay this
person?
Why
would you leave Sony Santa Monica?
Google's pretty competitive when it comes to hiring what they consider high talent employees. This is ironic because they couldn't get any games on their platform because they've tried to lowball every single fucking indie dev they talked to. Literally, someone went around and did interviews recently. Every single indie dev said they tried to fuck us. They didn't pay us. They didn't offer enough money to make it worthwhile to come to Stadia. So here's the fucking irony. They didn't pay any indie devs a decent amount of money to put their game on their platform, but they probably gave Shannon Studstill a fucking castle because they have done that before for programmers.
Ugh.
They have offered insane amounts of money to people they think are absolutely integral, but they can't afford money for games on their platform. They sure are Google.
Integral games.
Yeah, exactly. What good fucking priorities they have. Let's see. Hey, Bob.
What's up?
That Ghost of Tsushima story trailer's pretty fucking hype.
Yes, very raw.
Very raw.
It looked really good.
Yeah, no, 1,000 Mongols tearing up Japan is pretty fucking intense when you see the boats coming in.
Yes, that...
Motherfuckers just drop out of nowhere this trailer with the release date, too.
I know. They were just... here's my theory. They planned to have some event where they would talk about this and other things, and it just got pushed because of certain problems that are going on in the world right now.
The big sickie.
Yeah, seriously, though, that Ghost of Tsushima trailer looked very cool. I can't wait to see more gameplay. Bob, here's what's fucking with me, though, and I meant to say this while we were watching the trailer.
Uh-huh.
The protagonist of Ghost of Tsushima looks like fake aggro.
Oh, no. I can kind of see where you're coming from. I don't think it's 100% on.
It's close enough to me for me to do a dumb internet video.
Yes.
close enough for me to have a bad fucking idea.
Exactly.
God, now I'm imagining him wearing like awful looking samurai armor.
No, it's great. I don't
made out of tin foil.
I'm trying to reimagine that first trailer of Ghosts from like years ago, but in real life, and it's killing me. Smoke bombs, explosions.
Oh yeah, no, we're using
real
every
channel awesome energy.
Every video effects package we have. It's gonna be impressive, is what it's gonna be.
But yeah, no, everything about that trailer was really hype.
Yeah.
And that's only a month after The Last of Us.
Yeah, no, The Last of Us was not supposed to take this long, I assure you.
I'm assuming they were like, well, we could push Ghost back farther, but then that'd just be right in the middle of PS5, and that doesn't make any sense.
What? God.
I've the
damage to both of them.
Film this, get it out in time for launch. You will get 1 million views.
Anyway,
that's like $10 in YouTube money.
Oh man, I could use $10. Nice. I like crunch wraps.
Triple double ones especially.
No, God. Hey Bob.
What
do you mean the Halo 1 was added to the Master Chief Collection on PC? I don't understand.
You can now play Halo 1 PC.
What could you play before?
Halo Reach.
Yeah, they're going chronological.
Yeah, the first entry in the right, Halo going, saga.
I forgot they were going chronological. This is so nuts.
It is really dumb. But that's what they've decided to do.
Great. Now there's a really bad port of a really old game that's been touched up a decent bit. Great. Because for those who don't know,
also it's fucked up audio.
Yeah, I believe it. The Master Chief Collection version of Halo 1 is based on the Gearbox software port to PC from 2003. But it's touched up a bit.
Xbox would fuck me like this.
I can't believe Xbox would fuck certain people like that.
And it still has that weird graphics mode you can enable that they did on the 360 release.
Yes, where you hit the select button to pop in between the two different fidelities.
And sometimes things don't quite line up right.
Yeah, I mean, in our quick play of that fucking Master Chief Collection, or what was the original version? Anniversary Edition?
I think that's right.
The remaster on the 360. We fell through the ground because they put graphics where it wasn't in the original.
Raw.
It happens in the fucking quick play. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't another situation where I'm like, it happened in the quick play, and then there's no quick play up because we had technical problems.
That's very likely.
That's happened twice.
A noise happened in the background. Well, we lost it.
Yeah. I hope Agro's not listening to this. That's going to give him some PTSD. Bob, do we fucking know anything about Project Maverick?
We really don't. We have a single picture that was uploaded to the PlayStation Store in Europe. It's like of a crashed Star Destroyer.
Oh, okay.
And it says Project Maverick with the Star Wars font.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the Solo logo where you know it wraps around it.
Yeah.
No.
It's probably a beta that they're putting up. So I assume this is some multiplayer heavy thing. Maybe this is their Star Wars Destiny game. Let me just show that out.
It'll be a battle royale.
Maybe. I'm not going to rule it out.
Be canceled.
But yeah, how's this stealth coming out? And we we didn't, it, no dev leaked or anything like that, so we don't know if it's like DICE or anything. Because if it was DICE, I would totally sign up for, yeah, this is the Battle Royale. But it could be anything.
Yeah. Not a clue. We know nothing.
EA said that they're making a sequel to Fallen Order, and then EA Motive is making something else who made Battlefront 2.
Great.
Yeah, I believe they're the ones that did the story mode for Battlefront 2.
Okay, I was thinking
this might be them.
Better. Yeah,
co-developed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I remember when they were talking about it, they're like, we brought in Motive to do the cinematic single-player story that's really good if you play 1 hour.
Yes. How much of that did we play, Bob?
About 40 minutes, so nice. It was all okay.
Nice.
That was before where they're like, all right, now here's the demo to make you want to buy the Luke Skywalker or the Han Solo. Luke Skywalker attacks bugs.
Exciting.
Thrilling.
No. No. I'd rather play Mega Man Zero.
Bob. Oof.
What's up?
They leaked the last Granblue character on the fucking PlayStation Store.
Yeah, they posted it in like Hong Kong or something. It was literally just had the name of the final character. Who I think they're supposed to announce next week or something.
There's some capitalization here, so I need to ask you, is this character's name Zooey the Final?
No. No, it's just called...
That sounds like some BlazBlue shit.
Yeah, I know. That's why I had to ask.
I assume her name's pronounced Zooey.
Yeah.
She seems to have a gun in Dragons. It looked pretty cool from the art for the character in the mobile game.
When she jumps, she goes, Bree!
God. Please no.
I think, did this happen? Did we know about this before during the time we played, where Phil kept saying, all I need is a gun, and then Charlotta's done?
No, Bob kept saying that.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's because I learned that Matera, I think, is her name. Who uses the bow and arrow?
Yeah.
That's how only way I was able to defeat Dan using Charlotta. I just flew in the background shooting him.
He played keep away with a 3 foot tall person.
Yes. It was good.
It was terrible. It was horrible.
You put something high up on the shelf and she was pissed.
It was the worst. Phil, can you tell us what's happening in Prinny News this week?
So there's those two Disgaea spinoffs, the Prinny platformers. Prinny, Can I Really Be the Hero, I think is the name of the first one. It has a fucking light novel title.
Yeah.
And then Prinny 2, Dawn of Operation Panties Dude, I think is the name of the second one.
Okay. Iconic.
I've actually played these games. Has anyone else?
I completely beat the first one. I did not play the second one at all.
I didn't even know the second one existed.
I got through about half of one.
Okay.
I would have played the second one, but a certain person stole my fucking PSP, and if I ever find them, I'm going to break their fucking legs.
Nice. Can I film it?
They're using it as a UMD gun.
No, I didn't own any UMDs. That shit had custom firmware on it. I didn't pay for shit.
Do you think Zooey's got a UMD gun?
Yeah, probably.
Check
it out.
Sick.
This thing fires so easily. Watch.
No, that's going to be the character that has a giant fidget spinner. It'll be,
fuck
that dude's name. Yeah. Oh, his name is just Spinna.
Oh, of course. Of course it is.
For some reason, I'm now imagining Riku with a gigantic fidget spinner key.
And he looks fucking raw. Just imagine those were giant UMDs.
What's the deal with this 1 and 2 exploded and reloaded bullshit? Is it just...
Oh, it's a collection for Switch. I assume it's a sprite-based game, so I'm assuming they might put a horrible filter on it, but other than that, I'm sure it's just Nippon Ichi Software of America going, we need money. Go through the dumpster and put it all on everything you can.
I mean, to be fair, that game was pretty fun from what I saw and played, like the first one. So
I remember enjoying it, but it was a real ball buster because it's the whole you have 1,000 lives because Prinny suck, and also God, there's pits everywhere.
Yeah, it also had some X5 bullshit going on where the layouts of the level would change based on the order you do them in.
Oh wow, I didn't even know that.
But yeah, I thought it was all right, but definitely really challenging.
I see that on a Nipponichi Software America store, they have the Just Desserts edition, which is $60. So at least the normal version won't cost $60, presumably.
It'll probably cost $40.
Thank God they're not high.
Yeah. Hey, man. I don't know. But yeah, it's got soundtrack.
Thank God they're not Atlas.
It's got like a weird Lego printy, which is kind of funny.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Oh, let me screen cap this so we can get it in here. There we go. Perfect. Yeah. Here we go. Boom.
Oh, man. It has less than another poster of Asagi. I need more of those.
Yeah, it's the closest thing she'll ever have to a game.
Yes.
Bob, the Asagi brand ambassador.
Yes. Bob needs a t-shirt that just says Asagi Wars. He's like, oh, it's a really cool game. You've probably never heard of it.
It'll come out one day, I swear.
I think that was supposed to be... I think they almost tried to bring it back recently with a mobile thing, but it's like, nah, dog, we can't do mobile. That's canceled again.
Yeah, like, they were going to do it, and then they got fucked real bad and then had to shelf it.
Oh, no, I think it did come out.
It might have released as part of that Disgaea mobile game that completely crashed the company.
I'm trying to load the website.
Not recommended.
It seems to still be alive.
Now, is it real at all? Stop
it. It seems to still be alive. Also, this poster appears to be just the art for that mobile game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, this art was made a decade before that mobile game happened.
Oh, okay. It's actually the Makai Wars art. Okay.
It's the biggest fucking meme. It goes so far back.
Yep.
Phil,
yeah.
You need to tell me something right now because my brain is being racked trying to conceptualize it. How the fuck, because I'm reading your notes here, how the fuck is Dead or Alive 6 taking nickel and diming even further beyond?
Okay. You now have to pay money to change the character's hair color.
Yeah, and I hear that you have to pay it again to change it again.
Do you have to do it multiple times?
Oh, it's not you're buying the ability to change their hair color. You pay every time you dye their hair. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
That seems to be it. It's $1 a pop.
Jesus Christ.
I've actually defended their model of making a shitload of outfits for their fighters for a really long time. I think this is pretty indefensible.
Right, like that.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not per time. It unlocks it, but it's separate from costumes. Each hair color costs $1, and there's 16 hair colors per character. Costume.
Yep.
Oh. That's insane.
That's why I asked, is it per costume? Because I'm like, that would make it the worst.
What a nightmare.
Man, that Saiyajin Ninja really needs to get their act together.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're probably holding the company up.
Maybe this is enough.
Dead or Alive is never going to be a good series, so who cares?
Whatever, at least they're not 6 feet under like fucking Virtua Fighter. Jesus.
So there was a Nova Crystallis poll. About for the whole Final Fantasy series.
It was Nova Crystallis is like a Square like news site, and they were reporting on a poll from Japan from I believe it was NHK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's what's your favorite character? What's your favorite game? What's your favorite summon? Blah 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 blah. There weren't any big surprises, but I did think it was funny how after all the bullshit we got from the Western media about how Final Fantasy 15 had being the dude bro party would turn off female players. I think 74% of players of that game were women.
In the poll, what's your favorite Final Fantasy game? Final Fantasy 15 came in 10th place. 75% of the votes were from women.
And they were almost all 20 to 29.
Wait, real quick. You said Final Fantasy 15 came in 10th place in rankings of Final Fantasies?
Yes, they voted, what's your favorite Final Fantasy game? This also included spinoffs. And
yeah, so it's a lot higher than just in the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I find it funny that these polls even get reported on, and they typically have like 3,000 people responding at most.
This was half a million.
Well, that's statistics. Okay. Yeah, half a million.
Oh my God.
That's a very large size.
The top 10, which I can roll through very quickly. 15, 11, 4, 8, 5, 14, 9, 6, 7, and then 10 at number 1.
If you have those numbers, be sure to go to your local place where you bought your lotto ticket. Because those are the numbers for tonight.
Yes.
Final Fantasy X boys stay winning.
Ugh.
They do. They also won best song for To Xanarkand.
All right.
They didn't win best character, though. That one, Cloud got that. But Yuna was number 2. And then Tidus was number 7. So they actually got 2 reps on there.
Best character, Cloud, watches Advent Children. Nothing seems weird here. This is faithful. Anyway.
I think the weirdest one on the characters was Zach being 10th because of Crisis Core.
Of course.
Yes, because I think Crisis Core is like number 14 or some shit on that list. It was because they included all the extra titles in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff in those lists.
GDC got postponed because of the big sickie.
So
the big sickie.
Here's an interesting thing about that phrasing, postponed. Because a lot of people don't know about this sort of thing. They didn't say canceled. You don't want to say canceled. They said postponed until summer. The reason you do this is for insurance reasons. There's all sorts of contractual stuff about the difference between the phrase, the word canceled and the word postponed. And I know this because we had a festival last year where the first day was impossible to do because it was pouring rain and it looked like the rest of the weekend was going to be that too. They're like, hey, the official messaging on this is it's postponed. Do not say canceled. Do not even remotely imply canceled. We are fucked if you say canceled.
I mean, I was about to go into they mean canceled, but they said postponed.
No, it's an insurance thing, I assure you. That this is... The world of events is very strange when it comes to this sort of thing. But,
I feel like everything this year is probably going to be canceled.
I think the first half this year, probably. Yeah. And, if it's anything past that, oh boy, I don't want to think about that. So we're going to move on to Death Stranding coming to PC with ultra widescreen, high frame rate support.
Also, Norman Reeves has a head crab.
He has a head crab. It's very funny.
Raw.
Yeah.
You know what would be better though? If they could add the Miz, so that way the Miz is back.
God, I hate how we forgot about it, and now that we finally caught up to posting it, you are all about it. His name in Discord, ladies and gentlemen, is the Miz. He left real quick to get something and then came back with The Miz is back.
Yeah, no, that trailer was hilarious. What people don't realize watching the hey, we watched the trailers for the new Curse content by committee, we had to hear that 300 times as SciTube kept looping the beginning. It was the
that's why you hear Bob laughing before the sentence is even out of the narrator's mouth.
Yep. It's really good. But yeah, that PC port of Death Stranding looking fine. Pretty good.
I'm hoping that most of these features are going to be in the Final Fantasy, the PlayStation 5 version. That'd be neat.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I would really like an enhanced port of Death Stranding, even though I hope to have it platinumed by the time the PS5 shows up.
Then you can load up and see all your stuff got destroyed by rain and just go drive.
This conversation we keep happening is this conversation we keep having is the number one reason for me to fucking platinum that game so that way it stops happening.
It's just people taking turns shooting you.
Yes, and it needs to stop. You can't keep getting away with this.
I can't believe we fucked you on this.
I can. KZ, I can't even interpret this news. I'm just going to read it. Yu-Gi-Oh! LOTDLE is coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One March 24th. What the fuck is that?
That That is Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist Link Evolution. That is the Switch game that I, me and Phil played last year.
Oh.
It's where they added the most current anime at the time, as well as, like, the new cards and the new way of playing that isn't very good at all. they are up... that format fucking sucks. But they are putting that port finally over to the other consoles. They're updating things to use the April rule set, which I believe is just going to be the new anime rule set, which I think
anime rule set. The new anime uses entirely new cards. It is an entirely different game.
I'm so tired. They're using the April 2020 rule set. That's mainly for ban lists and shit.
The new rule set is fuck that last series. Now you can play your shit again.
Good. That's what I liked. I liked Yu-Gi-Oh! A lot a couple of years ago when it wasn't running that anime. But yeah, also, you know, whatever's currently banned. Switch is getting all of this for free in a patch, of course. And, you know, they're updating, putting in the newest cards, which I'm glad, because there are some new cards I was hoping were in the Switch version that just weren't in there. And I was pretty sad about that. It's like missing some key stuff that I wanted to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it for that one. It doesn't sound like they're adding anything else like really substantial, like for the campaign or anything.
The bad campaign. It's barely there.
It's there. I played it.
Yeah, you had to play it a lot to get those cards. A fucking whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
KZ, tell me the exciting news at Riot Games.
Riot Games revealed 18,000 games last year. One of them was called Project A. They revealed this around the time where the Blizzard stuff was happening. They're like, oh man, they're going to go shoot Overwatch. And they've shown it a little bit more now. It's called Valorant. It's launching this summer. They put out a little bit of gameplay of it. It's like tactical shooter style game. Looks okay.
Exciting.
Like I watched it. I'm gonna be mean on this one. It looks like boring Overwatch visually to me.
Yes.
And I didn't even know that was possible.
Not even surprised.
I'm watching the gameplay now. I honestly thought I was watching Counter-Strike.
It looks like they put the Overwatch shader onto Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it looks like they're shooting more for a Counter-Strike type of thing, but also Overwatch-esque, you know.
Superpowers and stuff.
Yeah, it's like Counter-Strike with DreamWorks animation visual style. That kind of thing.
It looks like 150 other games that have come out and failed in the past 5 years.
Yeah. But it's from Riot, so people will care a bit more, so maybe it won't, like, die or anything. Maybe it'll do well.
I don't know if there's any...
free?
Like, if there's any indication that that's the case, and people who like Riot won't play anything, or will play anything but League. Like
this will be very interesting.
This is the testing ground for that.
They put out their Hearthstone killer, like Legends of Runeterra, which I was hearing some praise over.
Did anyone play it?
I've been meaning to because they gave me the email for it.
Oh, it's just like a beta right now.
Yeah, oh, it's okay. Like a beta, but people can jump onto it. All I've heard is that it's a lot less predatory. At the moment, compared to any other one of those games. But maybe I'll play it so I can talk about it on Big Thing.
Tell me if it has a bunch of clown shoes random bullshit. Like, you get 3 random cards from anywhere in the game. Just pick one and that goes into your hand. It's impossible to predict what anybody has.
Well, I did watch a preview video, and it's like the champions that are in League are in it as like special cards. But the way they balance the game is you don't even need them. So decks are a lot more versatile, where some decks don't even run the champions in it. It's a very weird sounding card game.
Oh, it's an open beta, so
yeah,
get in now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to escape.
We do. We're talking about things that I probably won't care about if I touch them. so instead, I'll talk about a thing I care about because I touched it. Final Fantasy VII Remake got that demo, but also got plenty of preview coverage. So I just jotted down like info we got about the game that I thought was, you know, interesting. First, one of the people I'm mutuals with on Twitter who can speak Japanese, let me know the second a Japanese interview came out to tell me the Gact is not in Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1.
Good. He needs to be safe for Part 4.
God.
Genesis is not in Part 1. Nothing will forestall his return except it's not yet. Very tragic. Very tragic.
Yeah, I still think that the final part of this is going to end with that Dirge of Cerberus cutscene where he's in the cave.
Yes! So good. Gonna make you stream that at some point.
Any idea if Dumb Apples will show up in this?
They are in it.
Okay.
There is an advertisement for Benora White.
Of course.
In one of the first rooms in the game.
Of course.
They said like that's one of the first things they said, like we're going to be using setting elements from those games, like the Benora White and the Benora Village. I'm like, okay,
and some novel about the Turks called The Kids Are All Right, which was something that Nojima, who's the writer on this, wrote before Advent Children came out. So they're using a little bit of everything in the remake.
You can use as much of the good as long as the guy that looks like a Channel Awesome character is not anywhere in this game.
Who is that?
Let me get a picture of him.
Okay.
Oh, no.
But we'll before I go on any further, I have to know the answer.
Okay, his name is Dr. Hollander. I'm going to post a picture of him.
God, and you're going to assumed it was going to be that guy.
And you're going to tell me if my assessment of him looking like a Channel Awesome character is accurate or not.
Bob is unbiased. What do you think?
I see where you're coming from. Yeah.
Guy sucks so bad. He's like the main antagonist almost.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Crisis Core is great. I watched a lot of previews and interviews and stuff, and in one of them, Kitase, who's producer on this, said that initially, when they were starting to make the game, he wanted it to be a full-on action game and just work like that. And Nomura said, no, I want to shoot for something that's more tactical, that has the old RPG elements to it, that has that kind of stuff, which I guess is also partly because he didn't want something to be so entire. To basically just be Kingdom Hearts, wanted, you know, a bit of variety in that. And Kitase's thinking also makes sense, because I watched another preview thing where someone asked, hey, what was your video game influences for a remake? And he said, the new God of War. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of...
Yeah, I could see that.
Why the camera was up shooting. Cloud's butt.
Yes. Oh, that I didn't mention that in the demo. I did do the option that scales it back a little bit. You can like pull it out just a smidge.
Yeah, it's like it feels like that thing should go up twice as high as it does on how far you can scale it back.
It does. It absolutely does. I assume it doesn't do that because of the few areas that are like small little corridors where it's like they can't pull back too much, I guess.
Maybe a performance thing.
Cloud meets Aerith. They start getting they get jumped by people and he goes, girl.
But yeah, that was interesting. Something that shouldn't shock you, as we're a month out, Red 13 is not playable. He will be a guest party member because he shows up like at the end of the Midgar section in the original game.
Seems kind of weird he's not playable, though.
Yes.
Like, it just seems strange.
Yeah, because you could actually play as him in 7 original, right? Like,
well, it's more like that he's obviously going to have a bunch of animations and stuff. I'm kind of surprised, and I'm sure that you can direct him to do some things.
I mean, I'm assuming the rest of the characters are going to have a full built-out moveset and a lot of different abilities.
Yeah, so. I guess. I guess they didn't want to give you to him when he's only, like, 60% there or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Because, of, like, even in the previews, certain notes were, like, you get weapons in the game, of course. Cloud's Buster Sword, it seems like one or his two main skills you used in the demo are tied to the Buster Sword, and you'll get new skills from the other weapons. So there's actually a lot of variety in the things that you're getting and you're using. So that was something that I saw from that. Game has a lot of choices that'll affect like party affection. So I imagine that they're trying to get that down for like, you know, the date sequence that happens in 7, which I don't think is in this part.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not until the golden saucer.
It's not even at the first time you visit the golden saucer. It's the second time after you get Cid.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it looks like that. Maybe they're like future proofing that. So they,
God, can you imagine if there's like multiple date scenes? Can you imagine if you get Aerith's thing high enough, she doesn't die?
Oh my God. Stop.
You. All right. Escaping that. People were able to show off some stuff for the Sector 5 reactor, which is like the second one you do, where you take on the Airbuster. And the that Zeon. Dungeon. Yeah. That in that dungeon or that reactor as you're playing through it, they keep hyping up they got their new super epic weapon, the Airbuster. And it's gonna be the sickest shit. And you find out they're still making it, and you get to go in there and like set up things on the computer so the new things and modifications they're putting on them and set them to like go to the trash, so it ends up being a weaker fight when you actually fight it. And there's a bunch of like random puzzles and stuff, and they showed like some footage from the fight, and it has like the hologram of Heidegger from the trailer, and he's there the whole time shit talking you while you fight it.
Good.
You know, there's gonna be an achievement of beating it without sabotaging it at all.
Yeah. Also, it got me more excited for the soundtrack because it's just the boss theme from Guard Scorpion, but this one's a metal remix.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so they're mixing it up a bit with that. But overall, the previews looked really exciting. A lot of cool stuff there. The exploration stuff in Chapter 2 looked really, really neat because they kind of showed like the fallout of the reactor exploding, like. People saying stuff like an entire highway just crumbles before your eyes and some other really cool story stuff that they mentioned. Apparently has some Advent Children remixes in this game.
I mean, the best part of Advent Children is the One Winged Angel remix.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't say this when we were talking about it. It's really great that Square Enix cracked the code. And the two kinds of people that can bring the right anime energy to a performance, to like a sort of realistic performance, are former Disney Child actors and CW stars.
Yeah. They finally cracked the code on that one. But yeah, we're a month out and I'm a lot more excited for the game. However, Nomura may have said a statement that sounds hilarious, where he said, side quests will be just as exciting as main quests, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to see if this is right.
That's a lie. I love Nomura, but fuck that, you.
I love him, but what the fuck are you talking about? Whatever, just please be better than 15.
Be better frogs. Than 15. How do you know the worst one to bring up?
Because I played it!
Well, yeah, didn't you play it like 7 times?
No! 3. Collect the frogs. They're not on the HUD. They're not on the map. Listen for them.
And I'm like, excited! Oh, you mean look up a map online that has them marked okay?
Yes. It gets worse, Bob, when you do the ones where it's not in a location anymore. It's where there's water. Open world.
I did a lot of those. They are the worst.
Oh, it's so fucking. Anything is better than that. Even nothing.
Nothing's a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for the preview stuff. And also the news.
Oh, cool. So over the next week we should have a little bit more normal content coming out. I'm working hard on some video analysis stuff and got the buffer of podcast properly edited. So that's all good. I'm not going to get into specifics though. Who knows? Maybe you'll see Detroit in the next week. I have no idea. Don't ask me. Future Dan holds the answer. Past Dan knows nothing. KZ, what do you have going on?
Videos are still continuing as normal, I believe. believe the Fire Emblem DLC should be done by now. I don't know what's going on. Trails of Cold Steel is still going. I'm doing the Kingdom Hearts marathon stuff. We're about a third of the way through that. It's going well. It's going well. We occasionally get Phone Dan in there. That's pretty good. That's about it for me. Just everything's continuing as normal. Nothing too special.
How about you, Phil? What you up to?
I will be streaming Super Danganronpa 2 on Sundays and Wednesdays. On Fridays, I'll be streaming some fucking other thing that I want to stream at that time.
Phil? Yep. When you ended your first Danganronpa 2 stream, and you raided me, a bunch of people started saying that you were going to attack me.
Oh, no. They wanted me to, but I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know why, because I said that my favorite female character in that game was one that you apparently didn't like, I guess.
Yes, like, I found her first interaction with her very annoying.
I like goofy, hilarious characters with dumb sprites, so I don't know what their problem is. At least I didn't pick the trad wife.
When the line came up, her hair was like fields of wheat. I laughed for 45 seconds.
You did, and the entire chat was angry because you're like, I win, and they're like, no, you don't. Fuck you, Phil.
Because I had kept calling her trad wife before that happened, and they're like, fuck you, no, she's not. And then her hair was like fields of wheat. Also, she's white. And I'm like, I win.
I highly recommend Phil's streams of Danganronpa.
And then they got very mad that I called the 5-1 Yakuza character Boss Baby, because he looks like Boss Baby.
Oof.
We're gonna get Bob. We're gonna get Bob's take on this right now.
Oh god! What do I have to look at?
You have to tell me if this character, if me calling this character Boss Baby, knowing that he is the head of a Yakuza family, is fair.
Yes. I only need to see it for a second.
Canon.
Bob hates how accurate it is.
It's way too real.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Big Think Dimension. If you'd like to support the GB Podcast Network, head on over to patreon.com/GB Podcast so that way you can get exclusive behind the scenes on stuff, other content. There's a lot of content. It's basically non-ending avalanche of content. So head on over there, become a $5 backer or a podlord today.
Chicken livers or gizzards, take your pick. Delicious breaded morsels of country goodness. They spelled country in the most offensive way possible. Country. Why did they spell it that way?